This is Brian Zimmerman at Becker's Hospital Review. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Mudit Garg, CEO and co-founder of Qventus. The Qventus platform uses machine learning and behavioral science to automate patient flow and transform operations for leading health systems across the country, including academic, community, and safety net hospitals. Prior to Qventus, Mudit co-founded multiple technology companies, including Vidopia and Hive. He also spent time at McKinsey & Company's healthcare practice, helping large providers with organizational transformation and performance improvement. Mudit has been recognized for leadership as one of the Silicon Valley Business Journal 40 Under 40. He is a Stanford StartX mentor. He earned his master's in business administration and electrical engineering from Stanford University and a bachelor's degree from the Indian Institute of Technology. Mudit, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Great. So let's get started here. So why did you found Qventus and what was your vision for the company?
Yeah, you know, at the highest level, the vision for starting the company was that a strong belief that I had, which is world-class healthcare requires world-class operations. You know, when I first started working in healthcare, I started realizing why this problem was so important. I worked in, it was probably 12, 13 years ago, I was working on improving a hospital and its core operations as part of McKinsey & Company, and we were charged with helping a rural hospital. And what I saw there was both remarkable and eye-opening. You know, I was an interesting dichotomy that even this rural hospital had probably world-class clinicians, world-class treatments, world-class equipment and therapies, yet the average patient's experience was far from world-class. Right. If you wanted rarest of the rare diseases treated, our healthcare system was the best place in the world to be. Yet for majority of the patients, it fell really short. And the sad part was this was happening in spite of heroic efforts from staff, clinicians, managers who would do whatever it would take care of these patients. You know, when I remember in that time seeing if there's a patient waiting for an MRI, the doctor will go say, I'll wheel them in. You know, a patient didn't get discharge instructions, someone else will run and get it done. And sometimes there was a department leader or a manager who just, again, superhuman strength, would just spend time and energy and identify these problems, adapt the processes, and they would unlock the potential of their departments in terms of cost and quality and experience. But there are just hundreds of such things facing a manager every day, and it was just really hard to stay ahead of all of them. So it was clear that this is not going to work, and these superhuman efforts were quickly burning the staff out. And my realization was that it wasn't as much that the medicine was behind the times as much as everything else surrounding it. So that was kind of the realization of saying this world-class healthcare, the dream of world-class healthcare is impossible without world-class operations surrounding it, so we can provide consistency and reliability to this amazing potential of people and therapies and equipments that we have in our health systems. So that's what I set out to solve, to create a company that could help health systems transform their operations. To do so, we combined AI and machine learning and then behavior science and operations management to create a platform that could do so, and then combine that with expertise in clinical operations, performance improvement, change management, so we can create this combination of people, process, and technology and apply them to many long-standing operational challenges that prevent us from fully realizing the potential of the people, the equipment, the therapies that we have. So we developed exactly that at Qventus, one of the healthcare's leading platform for real-time operations. We've been really fortunate to work with some amazing institutions. We power over 15 billion predictions a year to drive some of the most critical operational decisions across community hospitals, academic health systems like Common Spirit, Honor Health, ML Fairview, Mercy, New York Presbyterian, to name a few. And it's been amazing to sort of work on that vision. But that's sort of where it came from, and that's what led me to start the business.
Thanks for laying all that out and just thinking about sort of all those tasks and operations. I think the hundreds of things that you mentioned that need to be done by managers and folks working in this industry. Can you help dive a little bit deeper and sort of give me and listeners a scope of how big the problem of inefficient operations is?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. I think it's a huge problem at multiple levels, right? Like clearly, I was telling you at the level of that individual manager, and the fact that you have to take these kind of dropping balls and catch these at all points in time is very hard. But even institutionally, it just adds up to a ton of waste in the industry. There's a study published in JAMA, I think it was in 2019, which said 20 to 25% of healthcare spend is waste, which is about $1 trillion. And of that, $200 to $300 billion could be saved through interventions, right? So now let's just take one example problem. Excess days, i.e. a patient spending time in the hospital past when it was necessary. According to some data from the advisory board, 22% of hospital days are excess days, which is about a full day a patient. That's $36 billion of waste across the industry just from that one problem, right? For an individual facility, that's $17 million of waste if, let's say, for an average 300-bed facility. And that's at a time of significant financial pressures where the CBO is projecting that half the hospitals could have negative margins by 2025, where we are really trying to find ways of humanely providing access to healthcare to more people without increasing costs. And these are examples that are present across the board. And each of these, if the problem in efficient operations doesn't just have a financial impact, it has a huge impact on well-being, because this inefficient operations leads to physicians, nurses, other staff taking those diving catches, as I was describing. They have to plug these gaps and make up for these inefficiencies. And, you know, burnout's been a longstanding issue we've been facing in the industry, but the pandemic has really accelerated that. We've continued to have to ask more and more and more of those folks. And as a patient, it's a big problem, right? Like as a patient, I want to, when I'm told certain things will happen at a certain pace, I want that social contract with it between a health system and me to be maintained. So I want to understand the timeline of when I'm leaving. I had, unfortunately, my son in the hospital for an extended period of time recently. And that was very important so we could plan, we could understand what we're going to do when he gets home. And it's really odd, but it's exciting in that this is a problem where the patient's incentive, the provider's incentive, the health system's incentive, and our incentive as a country are all aligned. And that's, I think, why I feel that this is a massive problem. And each of these is solvable. Like we can actually do a different way of solving them versus the diving catches. I mean, the excess days problem I was describing to you of the $36 billion of waste, we did a multi-hospital retrospective analysis of over 75,000 patient encounters. And we found again and again that if we could have an early and accurate plan of when a patient will go home, where they'll go home, where they'll go after the discharge, and a proactive management of what stands in the way of that plan, you can cut those excess days down by 91%, right? That's a 0.7-day difference. That's huge. That's almost, again, for an average 300-bed hospital, that's $12 million of cost opportunity. And how much... We studied last year, we had about 100 years worth of excess patient time that we were able to remove, and no patient wants to spend that extra time in the hospital. And so we find that again and again, and that's just the impact of, through AI and machine learning, informing that discharge planning process, coordinating the logistics of that delivering care, and solving that. And so, yeah, it's a huge problem, but it's a huge opportunity for us to be able to improve the efficiency, the well-being of our teams, the care of the patients, and actually, most importantly, finding ways that we can take the system that we have and expand access to many more patients without increasing costs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the goal of humanely, you know, providing and expanding access to care without increasing costs is just, you know, everyone is talking about that right now. And it's obviously a noble pursuit, but how do you get there when you're still carrying, like, what I think the figure you shared was $36 billion in waste, right? It just doesn't seem feasible that we're going to be able to achieve that as an industry without addressing some of this waste. So can you talk more about why more organizations perhaps aren't attacking this problem? the same way as others? You know, what's holding folks back here?
Yeah, I mean, look, it is hard, right? Compared to running reliable and systemic operations like ourselves, you know, delivering packages versus what we're doing in healthcare, there is high inherent variability, and that does make it much harder. And there are differences between patients and the conditions and therefore their progression of the path. And that makes sort of managing the system much, much more complex, because underlying it is a series of rapidly changing and highly variable paths. But I think if you think about like any place where there is such an environment where it's highly variable and rapidly changing, the best system for managing that is always something that can adapt to the presenting situation. Not adapt in days or weeks or decades, but right now as it happens. And the approaches that have been tried so far, which is, you know, a combination of our systems of record like EHRs and performance improvement projects, those are steps in the right direction, but they're not adaptable at that time scale where you can adapt as things are happening. So this current state is, you know, therefore built on heroics of these and cheerleading of those folks who manually can adapt in the moment. And that's really hard. You know, the identification of a problem has to happen on the fly. The analysis has to happen on the fly. The decision-making has to happen on the fly. And all of that's manual. So if a care team needs to open a long list of 15, 20 orders a patient has and guess based on experience which one could be barriers and where the patient will go and when the patient will go, and then pick up the phone and manually rely on ad hoc phone calls and messages, and then from a manager and leader standpoint, that's manual as well, figuring out where are things working well and where they are not. That's just really hard. And I think we are stuck in that world today of doing it. And our efforts historically have, as a result of sort of having worked in this manual way for so long and with these highly variable processes, effort so far has been more like paving over cow paths, right, versus designing something different. And we need to design a current state. We have a current state that is just not adaptive, but we need to design a future state that is adaptive in that way and adaptive in real time. And I mean, as I said before, like that, the data bears it out. Like if you look at inpatient length of stay for the last 20 years, it hasn't budged. So the question really is, what holds us back is this sort of change of mindset and a series of tools that allow us to adapt on the fly, provide the patients the best possible care with the resources we have in real time, right? And at a variety of levels. If it is at a patient level, that might mean being able to have a plan for them, a progression plan for them that changes in real time as their treatment progresses, as they are getting healthier faster than we thought, their expected date of discharge moves up and they're clinically ready sooner, that there aren't barriers that are holding them back. For ancillaries, it might be adjusting their priorities automatically so that they can figure out where to apply their resources versus a first in, first out. Or for ORs, it might mean like not requiring a ton of phone calls to identify where there's capacity, but proactively doing so and reaching out to folks. So in each of these areas, in the ED, it means like versus waiting for your system to run out of capacity, for your emergency department to run out of capacity, predicting surges ahead of time. And again, at a system level, having all of this that I was describing happening at a system multi-facility level where you have the situational awareness and visibility to adapt. And I mean, especially in the time of the pandemic, that was absolutely critical. And as I said, all of this needs to happen fast and automatically and continuously, much like, you know, a basketball team, which has certain offenses and has certain practices of plays. But when you come into a game, as things are changing, you change, you rapidly change, you just don't do what was happening. And that ability to have that real-time system, Gartner calls it a real-time health system, that's absolutely critical. And that, I think the ability to have that is what holds us back, but that's the vision of going from manual operations to real-time operations. And that's the vision we see increasingly shared more and more across the industry. And I think the pandemic has a huge part to do with it, because it sort of exposed the burden and tax that these inefficient operations were placing on our care teams to everybody, and we were all able to see it. So that moving from manual operations to real-time operations is absolutely critical now for most institutions.
Yeah, absolutely. So far we've really, you know, addressed the scope of the problem, the barriers to addressing it, and you've talked about the real-time sort of you know, getting that real-time feedback piece and the adaptability piece. So I'm wondering if we can drill down deeper about how you are working to solve this problem. You know, how does Qventus work? How are you working to sort of really solve this massive inefficiency problem?
Yeah, so we bring that sort of underlying real-time automation platform that enables those capabilities, but we don't apply that in a generic fashion. We actually specifically come with best practice solutions and the processes and the leadership practices that need to happen. And it's taken us a number of years working with health system partners to figure those out. And, you know, underlying is that platform, which is first uses AI and machine learning so we can identify operational issues. So that doesn't require manual effort, right? A bottleneck in the flow, where a patient will go, when a patient will go. I mean, candidly, as an engineer, that's where we started the business, which is originally to solve the problem by applying AI and machine learning to making accurate predictions, but quickly realized that wasn't enough, right? Like it you needed to do more than that to change the habit. So we actually then help orchestrate the right action. So making sure if this MRI getting done stands in the way of the patient going, or this physical therapy evaluation stands in the way, we make it really easy to for that to be escalated and completed, and so that the patient isn't sort of having to stay in the hospital unnecessarily because we weren't able to do a certain set of activities that was within our control. And then we take all these behavior science techniques to actually then create and close the loop to understand whether you're being effective and to make sure that these issues are not just being solved in the moment, but are consistently and systemically being solved as well. So in many ways, if you look at like core habit formation theory, where it's like, if I need to go to a gym, I need to get something that reminds me to go to the gym, you know, maybe an alarm clock that wakes me up in the morning at a certain time, the right thing to do, be the easy thing to do, maybe my bags are packed, and feedback and coaching from a coach to like make sure I stay on track. Organizational habits are exactly the same way. Reliability in a health system environment comes from organizational habits, and that identification of issues through the AI machine learning, the orchestration of solutions for the right thing to do is easy thing to do, and the management of accountability. That's how we built the underlying real-time platform at the core of all this. And we understand for health systems, there's a lot of complexity. So we don't go to them with just a platform, but with specific areas that we can solve with them that drive improvements, right? Whether it's in the inpatient, in the ED, in the perioperative, or the command center environment. And that's what we take to them. And that's how we're able to solve the underlying platform, the best practice solutions, and an expert services team that works with them to make sure their processes are set up to take advantage of these new capabilities that we're bringing alongside.
So then say a health system is able to execute on this, you know, like really take the solution and, you know, change those organizational habits. What are the outcomes you've seen? What are the results?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite transformative when you're able to do that. I think, you know, since we've been talking about the inpatient setting, last year we saw that we were able to eliminate over 70 patient years worth of unnecessary time that would have been spent in the hospital. I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me every time I look at that figure of that. 70 patient years worth of time was waste that we have been able to eliminate just in the base of partners that we work with. You know, we see that when this kind of management is applied, of an early accurate discharge plan and proactive solving of barriers, we see 90% reduction in excess days. We see length of stay overall across all patients reduced from a third to a half a day on a hospital basis. And all that translates also financially to 50 to 90 basis point improvements in cash flow margins and $10 million plus sort of even in the cost savings for a facility. Similarly, when we've applied that to the perioperative setting, we've been able to add over a case a month in the OR within the existing staffed capacity, which is huge. And that enables access. We've been able to pull up access by about 25 days for patients who would have had otherwise to wait for 25 days to get access to the operating room and to get taken care of with the issues they may have. And on and on. But it's not just the metrics. It's also we're able to support our partners in achieving systemness and how to do these things standardized consistently across facilities, in particular with our command center solutions, make sure they, you know, they've spent so much time and energy in digitizing and recording the system of record into the EMR, and how to make sure we can get the value they can drive from that data that is being entered painstakingly by the care teams, and how do we improve and drive the quality and the patient experience, and through all this, reduce the cognitive burden on the front line. So that's what we've been able to drive, and it's incredible, I think, what is possible with that approach, and what, you know, so much more that can be done with that same approach.
Well, thank you for laying all that out for our listeners. You know, those results are pretty impressive, but I want to ask, what's next? You know, what's next for Qventus? Where do you really go from here? How do you see your company building on these results and what you've been able to achieve so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a huge amount of opportunity, as I was saying, to apply this in more areas, right? Our underlying platform is incredibly flexible, and we can introduce new solutions consistently for the market. And we did that last year in a set of COVID solutions that we were able to have 400 to 600 hospitals use to plan their capacity. And we were extremely proud of having made that difference. And we see that ability to continually expand what we do pretty critical now as health systems emerge out of the pandemic, because every health system is looking at virtualizing their site of care, at centralizing their processes, and the historical way of managing through touch and feel is getting even more challenging. So we see the ability to apply what we've applied in the acute setting and deepen it in our inpatient, perioperative, and command center and ED, but also to expand that beyond the inpatient setting and building additional solutions based on our partners' largest needs outside the hospital, in the home, in the outpatient areas. And there is just no shortage of opportunities. We have very, very blessed to have amazing partners who've continuously in dialogue with us and expanding the use of and the purview of management through this real-time operations to a broader and broader base. And I think if we can keep doing that, and if the industry as a whole can keep moving towards that, I think we can actually achieve that vision of building on world-class operations, and with that, being able to deliver on world-class healthcare.
Yeah, certainly some big challenges ahead for the industry, but you know, it's also an exciting time, and it sounds like, you know, Qventus is doing some really great work. And, you know, going to be interesting, fascinating to see what you continue to do in the future. So, Mudit, I really appreciate you taking the time today and sharing your thoughts with us and your expertise and sharing a bit about Qventus.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciated the time as well.
To learn more about Qventus, please visit www.qventus.com. If you have any feedback on this program or requests for future podcast topics, please email Scott Becker at sbecker@beckershospitalreview.com. And please make sure to regularly visit Becker's Hospital Review at www.beckershospitalreview.com for the latest business, legal, and clinical news and guidance for hospitals and health systems. Thank you for joining us.